And I know that you're full, so I won't keep you long. All right, we'll get to the scripture. I thank again the leadership here at Hart Street, Brother Jones, and your elders for allowing me to be here, for the invitation. As I said this morning, it's always a privilege and an honor to be able to share the word of God. And I hope that you will be able to take something away from the things that we've studied today. Brother Jones already introduced again, but pointed out my wife, who is here with me, as well as my daughter, Darren, and my son Levi, and they keep me going. So I'm happy that they're here. My daughter, she said, "You mean we gonna stay?" Yes, we gonna stay. So we're here today, and we're excited to be here. Again, my best friend came back this afternoon as well. Trey is here with us, as well as Jay, and we're excited to be here. So without further ado, let's get right into the text. Is that all right? If you would, please turn to Luke, the 18th chapter. And it's only a few verses, but it's a lot of information in these verses, but we're just going to highlight a little bit of it. Luke, the 18th chapter, around the verse 9, or starting at verse 9, it says, "Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." He spoke this parable to some who trusted themselves as being righteous and despised others. I hate to say it, but that's us. That's us too many times. But verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. Some of your Bibles say one a publican. I told Brother Jones today, not Republican, just publican. Two went, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And a tax collector, standing afar, would not so much as raise his eyes towards heaven. But he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes, I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other one. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Right. That's what it says in your Bible? Amen. All right, so let's look back. If I had to give you a title for this lesson, the title would be really simple. Be careful who you point your finger at. Be careful who you point your finger at. Also, he spoke this parable to some of who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, we know a lot about the Pharisees, right? We know the Pharisees were people who felt it was important to carry out the law. And we learn from the study of the Gospels and the study of the New Testament that while the Pharisees carried out the law, many times that's all they carried out. They carried out the letter of the law, but their hearts were in the wrong place. Now, when we look at this book, in order for us to really understand the book, we have to understand who wrote it. The book was written by Rudin. That's a new word, Rudin. The book was written by Luke, and Luke was a physician. A man who was part of the medical field. And Luke wrote to the Gentiles. Now, it's important for you to understand that Luke's gospel was attended to, was focused to the Gentiles, okay? Because the Gentiles had a way of looking at the Pharisees. And because of the way the Pharisees treated the Gentiles, they felt like that even though they had given their life to God, they were not worthy because of the way the Pharisees looked down on them. But Luke, what he does is he writes in a number of different occasions, he shows scripture that lets the Gentiles understand that it's not just about keeping the law, but it's the heart in which you keep the law. All right? So Luke says that this scripture is written to those who trusted themselves and despise others. Now, when I read this scripture and I look at it, I get a little sad sometimes because the Pharisees look a lot like the Christians. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. It says two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now watch the very first thing the Pharisee does. You watch his position or his posture. The Bible says the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. Now, when we look at this passage of scripture, you know, some people will say, Brother Mason, ain't nothing wrong with standing and praying. But when you look and you study this passage of scripture, you realize that the Pharisee stood for the purpose of being seen. He didn't just stand because he had to stand up and pray. We had brothers stand up and pray today. But their purpose in praying was to exalt God. But the Pharisee's purpose in praying was to be seen. So he stood up, and he said, he prayed to himself. Isn't that interesting? Now, he started off wrong because he prayed for himself, prayed to himself, and then called God's name. You notice that? Now, some people say, well, that's not, it didn't mean he prayed to, it mean he prayed quietly. Well, no, when we look at the implication in the scripture, we realize that the Pharisee, from the very beginning of the prayer was focused on him. So the Pharisee stood up so everybody can see him. And then he said, he prayed to himself, but he called on God. Sometimes we do that. We get up it's time for us to share the word of God, or it's time for us to pray. And when we get up, we have no real intention of sharing God's word. Our only intention is to let people know who we are and what we have done. And that's what the Pharisee does. The Pharisee said, God, I thank you. Wow, this is a strong prayer. I thank you that I'm not like other men. Why? I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner or unjust, an adulterer. And then he said, or even like this Pharisee. I tell you, be careful who you point your finger at. Right? Because what had happened is that the Pharisee had done a good job of pointing out everyone else's sin and forgot to look at his own. And his sin was different than everyone else's because his sin was not seen to the naked eye. It was in his heart. What was the sin, Brother Major? Self-righteousness. Yeah. So he did a good job of pointing out everyone else's sin and neglected to point out his own. I say this often to our college students, and I'll share with you. Be careful anytime someone else's sin disgusts you more than your own. Anytime we get in a situation where we're able to look at somebody else and we say, oh, look at him, he's a homosexual, look at him, he's a liar, or look at him, he's a fornicator, or look at him, he's an adulterer, right? And we are afraid, or we do not take and look at ourselves, we're in a dangerous situation. Because we all know that sin itself separates you from God. The Bible, he talks about a number of sins, but all it takes is sin. So what I'm trying to tell you is that if I'm a liar and you a fornicator, we're both in trouble if we continue to do what we're doing. Y'all follow me? I know right now things like homosexuality is prevalent. And I believe 100% that homosexuality is a sin and God doesn't like it. But a homosexual, right, and an adulterer living the same lifestyle, both of them got trouble with the Lord. All right, so be careful when you are more disgusted with someone else's sin than you are your own. And I believe this message, when Luke wrote this message, he wrote it to the Gentiles, but God knew and the Holy Spirit knew how relevant it would be to churches in 2016. Because oftentimes when I hear the message that we share, and many times our message is a message that points fingers at others. Our message is a message that illuminates and that likes to shine light on what other people have wrong.
Yes, sir.
And when we do that, sometimes when we point our finger at other people, we're neglecting to look that we need grace and mercy just like them. Amen. All right. So the Bible says, and then he started to list the things that he does. And he says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Right? So what he said was, look, God, I'm so glad I'm not like the tax collector. I go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and Wednesday.
Uh-oh.
If y'all open your church, I'm on Tuesday, I'll go there too. all the songfest I come. Uh-huh. When the preacher start preaching, I read with him. Uh-huh. When the song leader sing, I sing loud. Thank you, God, I'm not like him. Yeah. Right? I go down in my pocket and I make sure that I give. And I saw this sister the other day. She was in reaching through her wallet. She had 300 and a five, and she gave you the five, God. I'm so glad I'm not like him. Okay, so we look like the Pharisees sometimes. And then it says, and the tax collector. And this is powerful. The tax collector standing off afar. So look at the difference in the positions. It said the Pharisee walked to the front of the temple and stood so you could see him. The tax collector was so down on himself that he wouldn't even go in the temple. And he had his head down. Visualize this. He's standing off afar because he realizes that he's a sinner. And the Bible says that he beats on his chest. And I know what that looks like. I know what that looks like. When you beat on your chest, sometimes you beat on your chest because you say, my bad. Man, I'm struggling. Right? Have you ever seen a basketball player play, you know, and he takes a bad shot or he throws the ball away? He usually looks at his teammate and goes, my bad. So, right? So what this tax collector is doing, he's looking at God. He said, I'm sorry. I ain't worth a nickel. What he's doing. And he didn't even have enough pride to raise his head. But the Bible says that he said, God, have mercy on me. Yes. Why? Because I'm a sinner. Yes. If you want to know what you need to pray to God, that's it. Amen. Why do you say that, Brother Mason? Because we all are sinners. Amen. We all are sinners. So if you think in the night, you know, you say, Lord, I need to pray. If you want to ask God for anything, Lord, have mercy on me, for I'm a sinner. And then it says, I tell you, and it, you know, I love that this story was not just written in the Bible, but this is Jesus talking. You know, Jesus is the one that's laying down what actually happened. Sometimes we look and we see other people in the Bible, we say, we don't know. Jesus said that I tell you, this man went to the house justified, while the other, the Pharisee, rather than the other. And then he gives a final message. That's a powerful message. For whoever exalts himself. And what he means by that is whoever is more puffed up than they should be. We're not talking about pride. We're talking about arrogance. Right? We're not talking about righteousness. We're talking about self-righteousness. Whoever exalts themselves shall be humbled. And he who humbles himself shall be exalted. What's my encouragement to you today? My encouragement to you is to be more like the tax collector and less like the Pharisee. Be more like the tax collector. Why? Because the tax collector was able to connect with God and he was able to leave justified. And I love the word justified because justified really means that he has been covered or purged from his sin. Right? Justice had to prevail. And so when he was justified, the reason why he was justified is because when he said, Lord, have mercy on me, he activated the blood of Jesus to cover him. So I encourage you, be more like the tax collector. Be humble enough to just ask for God's mercy. And I believe with all of my heart, and I believe the scripture will confirm that, is when we're humble, God is pleased. Sometimes we fall short and we forget. We forget. We get more excited about what we've done than what God has done for us. If you're one of those people, if you're struggling or you've fallen by the wayside and you have struggled with self-righteousness, this is the time to come home. God is the same God he's always been. God is the same God. His blood will cover you just like it did yesterday and it will tomorrow. So if you're struggling, Christians, come on back to Jesus. If you've never heard the word of God, well, let me tell you, this is the blood, this is the fellowship that we invite you to. We invite you to, not us, even though we okay people, we don't invite you to us, we invite you to Jesus. Jesus died, gave his life on the cross, so you and I can be looked at or be perceived as being sinless and be able to see Jesus, see God in peace. He died. If you believe that, you've heard the word. Believe on it with all your heart. Repent of your sins. Just turn away from what it is that you've done, right? Whatever it is that you've done. God doesn't ask for much. He just say, turn away. Walk the other direction. And then confess to Jesus. Say, you know, hey, look, I believe that you're a son of God, right? and then be baptized. And then once you're baptized, then us, those people who love God, will continue to work with you and love you and love you and love you so that we all can see each other in heaven. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of God. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of God. And we offer you to come and be a part of that fellowship right now.